Last semester, the University of Wisconsin-River Falls campus mourned the deaths of four students who died by suicide. Unfortunately, this is part of a bigger trend in Wisconsin and beyond. Rates of anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideation among college students have been on the way up for years, and the COVID-19 pandemic made things even worse. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among college students. Universities around the country are working to find solutions, and we'll check out some of those solutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a college student or recent graduate? What have you seen on your own campus when it comes to the mental and emotional well-being of the students there? Do you see help being accessible from school counselors or support groups? What kind of resources would be most meaningful to your mental health as a student? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. By the way, if you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, you can call 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. You can also text the word HOPELINE to 741-741 to reach a free and confidential crisis text line. We'll repeat that info in just a bit. Laura King is Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs and Strategic Enrollment at UW-River Falls. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm sorry for the losses on your campus. Can you just start by talking about how people are doing there? What's the mood on campus after that obviously very difficult semester?
Yeah, so the last semester was really tragic. And I would say it really hit all of us very, very hard. We started classes, we're 1 week into our new semester. And so we are looking forward while still making sure to grieve those that we've lost. And we're really focused on making sure that our students are doing okay. And really focusing in on the mental health needs of our students, our staff, and our faculty.
And what kind of thing, what does that look like? What kind of things is the campus providing for students and staff and faculty to try to deal with those mental health needs?
Sure. So we're really focused on trying to make sure that we have the supports in place. So like many campuses, we have a Student Health and Counseling Center. So making sure that that team is full and working hard to make sure they're connecting with students. We're expanding some of the work that we're doing. We're bringing a peer-to-peer group to campus called Active Minds. And so our counseling team is working to bring that group to our campus, so we don't only just have that staff to student support, but also that peer-to-peer support. And then we're also doing things like trying to highlight resources that we have on campus with Mental Health Mondays. So we'll have a few of those throughout the semester. And then we're partnering with different organizations, trying to make sure that we're moving forward and advancing some of the work we're doing on campus, really with students at the center of the work that we're doing.
I mentioned those statistics that seem to suggest that college students and people of that age are experiencing some mental and emotional health difficulties. It seems like maybe one bright spot is, my understanding, Laura, is that more recent generations are more willing to talk about these issues and open up and share these concerns. Is that something you see from your students at UW-River Falls, a willingness to talk about issues where maybe previous generations might have clammed up about it?
Absolutely. I think that that's really an important point. I think one of the first steps is really making sure that we're creating spaces and opportunities for students to talk about it and to really destigmatize mental health. That's what we're trying to do here. And we found that many of our students are very willing and open about their mental health needs, as well as concerns that they may have. And I think that's really a good thing, because you're right, in the past it had been much more stigmatized, and we need to start normalizing, talking about mental health, about suicide prevention, postvention work, to make sure that we're here to support each other when we need it.
And Laura, having gone through this horrible situation at UW-River Falls, and you're still recovering from that, that said, are there lessons you might suggest to other institutions, maybe small colleges, campuses around the country, or other organizations who think, yeah, that could just as easily have been us?
Sure. I would say one thing is know that as an institution, you're not alone. This was a situation that we never thought that would happen at River Falls. And when we were going through it and continue to go through it, we found an outpouring of support from other institutions, from those within our system, from outside our institution, individuals who I believe you'll speak with a little next, from the Jed Foundation, have been amazing collaborators, soundboards, individuals to really help support that network. And so I think that's something that I would say is really important, is to make sure that we're openly talking about suicide prevention and postvention work and working together, because the resources and the individuals are out there to support you, and you can tap into those.
Laura, thanks so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you so much to talk about this important topic.
That's Laura King, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs and Strategic Enrollment at UW-River Falls. She was with us to talk about student mental health as the campus community mourns the death of four students who died by suicide last semester. Our next guest specializes in rural school mental health and youth suicide prevention. He's here to talk more about the unique mental health challenges faced on college campuses and how communities and institutions can help. Kurt Michael is an emeritus professor of psychology at Appalachian State University, senior clinical director of the Jed Foundation, which Laura just mentioned. That's a nonprofit that supports teen and young adult mental health. Kurt, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
I understand the Jed Foundation works a lot with postvention, intervention after something happens on a campus, as we've seen at UW-River Falls. What are some of the first steps you'd like to see from a campus in that situation?
Yeah, great question. And let me just also say that the Jed Foundation, that's now in its 25th year, really was founded based on these principles of postvention that I'll talk about in a minute. And just to mention for your listeners, the Jed Foundation is named after Jed Satow, who lost his life to suicide in 1998. And really his parents, Donna and Phil Satow, deserve credit for, in their grief, starting the foundation to create a much more comprehensive safety net for college students specifically.
And so with that in mind, what would a postvention look like? What kind of things, and I understand you are working with UW-River Falls yourself right now, what kind of priorities do you have at the top of your list?
Yeah, there's a series of priorities. I think if I can explain maybe the three top priorities of postvention response, the first is just to help people in the community heal from suicide loss. That's number one, to do whatever is possible to reduce the possible negative effects of suicide broadly, and to ultimately prevent suicide, especially for those who might be identified as being at higher risk.
And I think sometimes we're reluctant to talk about suicide even after it's happened for fear that, okay, we're gonna put that idea in somebody's mind, right? And I understand the research says, no, that's not exactly how it works. How do you address that?
Yeah, what a great point. That is an often sort of an assumption that people have, that somehow if you ask about it directly, it's going to create a dangerous situation and a risky situation. And actually, we find the opposite to be true, that a lot of folks really appreciate when you ask directly, when somebody's thinking about suicide, they appreciate the transparency and the honesty. And usually it's very much protective. That is, that once that conversation starts, then efforts to reduce that particular risk can then come into play. And that's what we found after years of studying this, that much to our surprise, asking directly actually is protective.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Elliot is with us in Beloit. Elliot, hi.
Hi, Kurt. Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
What did you want to tell us about Elliot?
Yeah, I just wanted to inform you. I actually, this conversation is very personal to me because I am young and also have mental health struggles myself with depression and anxiety. And I'm actually faculty at one of the technical colleges in the state. And, you know, I just want to make this point of regarding mental health care and services in the state at education institutions is right now one of the biggest things that I see is we have so much of a focus and so much, you know, incredible work just trying to talk about it more. But the real sad reality and truth is that money and funding and resources are not going to these places in the ways that they really need to be. Things like, you know, at our college, we only have like a few people who are, you know, trying to handle this whole giant task of trying to balance the well-being of everybody on our campus, you know, and they are stretched very thin every day. And I guess part of what I want to call about is just a call to action, especially to other faculty people like me who work at colleges, and acknowledge that the real thing is we are the first people that see our students every day, you know, and we are the ones that actually see them the most. And so we have a responsibility to know the resources that are available, to, you know, be empathetic, to listen, to be kind. And this is not just an issue of the students. It's an issue of your colleagues as well.
Elliot, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there to talk about, Kurt. First of all, Elliot raises the resource issue. He sees not enough on his campus. Is that pretty common?
It is common, and I share his sentiments, not only as a provider, but a member of a faculty for 23 years, knowing that there's considerable burden on faculty and staff to, I would say, in summarizing the concerns, you know, adequate help for helpers. And again, we want to make sure that we're trying to make that possible to the greatest extent we can. And I know that funding is always a concern. So accessibility to services remains a top priority of the Judd Foundation and of organizations, campuses, just like River Falls.
And Elliot also brings up the idea of making sure that faculty and maybe other staff who have direct contact with students have training in being sort of a first responder in some ways or a first point of contact for mental health concerns. I could see somebody saying, I'm here to teach chemistry or whatever. I don't know how to deal with these life or death issues with people. What are your thoughts on that idea from Elliot?
Yeah, no, it's an important point that Elliot raises, I guess. Oftentimes the challenge is there, if there's limited resources for the services themselves, that's one of the things that will probably get the short end of the stick, would be proper training for faculty and staff. And so again, it's one of those gaps that we need to get better at addressing. So I share those concerns, absolutely. Also don't want folks to feel some excessive pressure to behave like a mental health professional if they don't feel like they've been sufficiently trained. So trying to strike that balance, if you will, that we can still teach chemistry and be supportive without feeling pressure to be professional mental health counselors, if that makes sense.
Elliot, thanks again for that firsthand perspective. Kurt Michael is with us, Senior Clinical Director of the Judd Foundation. That's a nonprofit that supports teen and young adult mental health. Talking about suicide prevention and mental health resources on college campuses, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see, if you are in a college community or have been recently, do you see mental health concerns about suicide as a problem on that campus? Do you feel like there are resources out there? What more would you need? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Kurt Michael, Senior Clinical Director of the Judd Foundation, about mental health among college students. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions. That's 800-642-1234. Kurt, we heard from Debbie in Madison who asks, what do we know about the root cause of why suicides seem to be up in college students? You hear a lot of things on social media, Debbie says, but what's really going on? What are your thoughts, Kurt?
So if you kind of look at the trends over time, you notice a few things. One is that over the past 20 years, according to the CDC, suicide rates have steadily risen over that span. In some cases, at a faster rate in certain high-risk groups more than others, for example. But I do think that the issue has been ongoing for some time. So this is not a new issue by any stretch. I would also comment that the good news is that a lot more people are receptive to help seeking. So I think being able to talk about it openly is something that's more normative nowadays. But also to mention that we want to, you know, raise the bar in our efforts to promote prevention by being aware of people who might have early warning signs of suicidality, that is, suicidal thoughts. And so in a recent study that was published in the Archives of Suicide Research in 2022, the estimate across the United States was that during that year, about 16 million people reported experiencing suicidal thoughts. So it's a pretty common concern that we want to, when we're able to provide intervention, when we first learn of someone's complaints or concerns around suicidality, that can be addressed ideally early in the course of some evolving situation, if that makes sense.
And we're talking about campuses, Kurt, and I mentioned earlier suicide, one of the top causes of death among college students. Looking at CDC numbers, it's also one of the top causes of death among college-age people, period. How much of this is right. something about this age cohort versus something specific to campuses?
Well, I don't know that we can ever really identify any kind of clear pattern or contributing factors. I think what we're seeing is a complex interplay of these factors that things like COVID or academic stress or relational stress, those kinds of things are pretty common among that those age groups. And so we want to be mindful about how these things interact. And I would add one more important factor, which is access to lethal means. So trying to do what we can to reduce access to particular lethal means that can be very protective.
Time for one more caller. Beth is with us in Madison. Beth, hi.
Hi. I'll keep it short. And this is how we managed with our own college students and our family. We encouraged our adult children to keep their school load down to 3 courses per semester for reasons that were very important to us. And that was to enable them to succeed no matter how long it takes to graduate. I think that young people feel the need to take more load than that. And then there are also to encourage family and friends to refrain from comments that would question how long it takes to graduate. That's a common difficulty, I believe, for young people, and they feel that pressure when they hear little comments, no matter how well intended.
That's interesting, Beth. Thanks for the call. And it's very interesting, Kurt, because I think there's a lot of focus in Wisconsin and I assume elsewhere to try to get students graduated in 4 years or 2 years, depending on the program. That might be putting on pressure to take more classwork than Beth thinks is healthy. How much of a factor do we see in that academic pressure to get a lot done and get it done this semester?
Yeah, I think that's certainly, case by case and can be very relevant for individuals. And I think that really is important to come up with a sensible, sensitive plan for each person to accomplish their goals within a reasonable time frame. So yeah, I think for some, those perceptions of increased academic stress can contribute, but I do think it's, you know, individually dependent. So I think the caller's points are good ones.
Beth, thanks a lot for the call. Kurt, we were earlier talking about the postvention, right? How a campus reacts to a tragedy, a suicide on campus. What kind of things, apart from that, maybe before that event happens, can a campus community do to have a better attitude, to have a better mental health attitude in the community?
So I think, you know, one of the ideas would be to be preemptive in communication strategies, messaging around where help is available, offering messages of support, recovery, and resilience are often key messaging components that I think are protective. And so we want to help campuses create conditions where if these particular stressors become, you know, too much or overwhelming or might contribute to someone's risk for suicide, that there's sufficient support discussed about as much as you can in advance so that people can know this going in to their experience, maybe including some of these, messaging around orientation time or when people first arrive on campus could be a strategy that you basically look at postvention as an opportunity for prevention, if that makes sense.
Kurt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's Kurt Michael, Emeritus Professor of Psychology at Appalachian State University, Senior Clinical Director of the Jed Foundation, a nonprofit that supports teen and young adult mental health. He joined us for a look at how campuses and communities can support suicide prevention and mental health resources for college students. This after suicides at UW River Falls last semester. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline can be reached by calling 988. That's 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, or you can text HOPELINE to 741-741.